The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Well, if this is your first time to the King's Chapel, my name is Milton Harding. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. I am not Pastor Bill Jeske. I'm just a tad taller. And he is the senior and lead pastor here. And it is my pleasure and privilege to serve along with him and all of the pastors on the staff. I'm also not Mark. Some of you will get that confused sometimes. And so, anyway, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Isaiah. We're going to go to a couple of places in Scripture today. And I want to be very short. Oh, Lord, God, I haven't seen that before. There is a... Wow, yeah. Anyway, there's a clock back there on the wall, big one. Can't miss it. I want to be short. I want the message to be sobering. I want it to be sanctifying. I want all of those things to happen this morning. As it was expressed through our prayers this morning, sometimes this is not the most pleasant time of the year within families and within communities, within the country. You know, it can be very heavy time, and I get that. I understand that. But I also want to be brief this morning to remind us, if you will, as Apostle Peter would write in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, it is a pleasure for me to remind you. I have a problem reminding you, and that's what I want to do this morning. I want to remind you all regarding that little phrase, Jesus is the reason. Oh, we hear that everywhere all the time, don't we? Somebody say amen. And then we look and see how that is being lived out in our midst, huh? Right? Now, don't get squirmy on here, because it's not that kind of message, all right? it's only, you know, it's only going to be like this. Some people, it's going to be like just a regular dental floss, you know, like a little hygiene cleaning, right? For others of us in here, it's going to be a full-blown root canal. Yeah, it just depends on how much you've sold out to the lie that the enemy would tell you about this time of year, what it ought to be used for, and what it ought to be about. So I am not trying to bring guilt, but I do want to encourage us. I want to encourage us in the things of God this morning. And so I titled this morning's message, Happy Birthday, Jesus. I couldn't think of anything else. Happy Birthday, Jesus. Do you think that might be an appropriate title? If you know this little tune, join along with me if you will. It's not a hymn, but you'll be able to catch up the phrase. I'm sure you will. Happy birthday. Oh, wait. I act like you've never sung this in your own home before. Wait a minute. It sounds way better than that at home, I know. All right, let's remember whose birthday it is here. Okay, let's try that again. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. This is so mundane. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Now, I don't know about you all, but if when we do that at our home, and I didn't learn this until just a few years ago, after our children kind of maybe went into adult mode and they started having their own schedules and anything, who knew that you could celebrate birthdays for like 3 weeks? Is there anybody else in this building that might do something like that? Like the birthday is on a day, but you can find yourself 3 weeks later celebrating a birthday that, are we the only ones in the Harding household? Are we the only ones that do that? I mean, I get little calls and texts and messages sometimes saying, we're going to go out to eat because it's one of our children's birthday. And I said, well, baby, that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, but we didn't have a cake. We didn't go out to eat together or anything like that. Okay, so we do that. Well, then I get a text later on that says, we got to go out to eat again. Well, what for? Because everybody couldn't make the last time. So you see how that works, man. We could be celebrating birthdays for time and time again. Anybody else here do that? Please help me now. Please, I appreciate that. Okay. All right. So I just learned that. My wife taught me that, as a matter of fact, that you could celebrate birthdays for. Now, mine's tends to be the shortest birthday of all. Okay. Okay. All right. as my daughter says, that's not true. Okay, anyway, we want to make sure that we honor God with all of what we have because that's what he did for us. And so when I looked up this word birthday, now I'll confess, I used Webster's, Merriam Webster's. I mean, I guess we'll all accept that. I could have said Google, I could have said Wikipedia, but okay, let's just go with Webster. And it says, simple as this, day of a person's birth. How many of you all can remember when you were born? No, you can't. All right, how many of you all know your birthday? Yeah, okay, and you know your birthday. Yeah, you know your birthday like you know the back of your hand, okay? And it hits on that day. There's a little fella in here that I happen to be related to who, when he saw his aunt entering our home with some packages in her hand, he asked this question. He says, now keep in mind he's only four. He says, are some of those gifts for me? Or are all of them for me? Oh, yeah, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful. And so when it's the origin of a person's birth, we want to make sure that we center in on that person, right? I was sharing with him, it'd be a strange thing, kind of a wow thing, if you will, if we know that it's Chad's birthday, and we all go out and get Chad something of remembrance for his birthday, but then we give all of his presents, to Damon. Now, I'm not thinking that Chad's not going to be super spiritual about that, but I'm thinking he's probably not going to be real happy if we gave his gifts to someone else. Now, don't y'all look at me like that, like you're all pious and everything. I'm just trying to make a point here. Okay, so it's the origin of a person's birth. And I know that when we talk about Jesus being born on December 25th, we can enter into that whole historical debate about, well, it couldn't have been because the shepherds wouldn't have been out. It would have been snowing. It would have been warm. It would have been this. It would have been that. That's not what we want to talk about. But I do want to talk about what the celebration is all about. Because as it is in just the natural being of families, when you can extend a birthday several weeks, we get the opportunity to extend the birthday for eternity. For eternity. If you think of it in this light, every day is Jesus' birthday. That's the way it ought to be in our spirit. That's the way it ought to be in our heart. And we ought to be just as joyful. When we sing the songs that seem to be a sign only for this season, we ought to be just as joyful singing them in March as we do in December, singing them in July as we do in December. You follow what I'm saying here? So anyway, turn to your neighbor and say, what's he talking about? Where's he going with this? Not just a day of recognition, but this is a lifetime. Not only is it a lifetime, it's a lifestyle. Somebody say amen. Yeah, I get quiet on me, I get concerned. Okay, so did I tell you to turn to the book of Isaiah? We're going to begin there. Isaiah chapter 9. These verses you know them very well. You've heard them before once or twice in this season, if you will. I have a tough time talking about Jesus in a season. But anyway, we're going to do just that. Isaiah chapter 9, we have a prophecy here, if you will, as the prophet Isaiah gives us a glimpse into who this Jesus is. Verse 6, are we there? Are you all hearing me okay? Okay. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. I wanted to talk this morning very briefly about what Isaiah the prophet just told us about who it is we're celebrating about today. Now, I must admit, I didn't always used to be like this. Christmas used to be a big deal. I used to get all kind of like driven by it, if you will. And I don't mean like not crazy driven, but I mean, it would pump up, it would get me excited. Anybody else get excited about Christmas? Okay, I appreciate that. Okay, so then after I got saved and I started walking with the Lord to understand what all of the noise was about, there is a Christmas that goes on inside of me, whether it's December or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so there's a celebration that goes on inside of me, whether it's the right time or the right season to be doing that. Like, I find it odd that I'm celebrating Christmas in June in my own spirit. All right, okay. I want to look at this verse a little bit and talk to you about this Jesus that was put in a trough. Okay, that's kind of where we pick him up, right? In Bethlehem, remember that? He was in a trough. Who knew that truth would enter into us that way, that would come to the land that way? For unto us a child will be born, a son will be given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. Well, we know that John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he... Yeah, you know I'm going to need your help this morning. Yeah, so he gave us his son. So that's that whole giving element, if you will, around Christmas. And we've got it. We've figured it out. If you don't think we figured it out, check out Kohl's' bottom line at the end of this Christmas season. Ooh, okay. So check out Amazon's bottom line at the end of this Christmas and see if we don't have the giving thing right. How many of you all love to give? No. How many of you all love to receive? I'm in that line. Don't be bashful. Don't get pious on me here. Let's be real. All right? How many of you all like to give? Yeah. And so that whole giving and receiving thing is something that God came up with. It's not in us naturally. Because if it's just left to us naturally, all we would want to do is just receive. Yeah. But I have discovered there is not, and I have had some help because I wasn't always this way. My wife was the first drink of unconditional love that I received in the spirit to understand what unconditional love was. And as a result of that, we learned how to give. Because this is one of the most living examples right under my nose of a person who just gives. And I know that because I know me. I always say that I'm low maintenance. And I'm going to keep always saying that. But I know that it's probably not easy being my wife. Now, I'm not some tyrant or something. Don't get me wrong, because you all look at me like I'm a real, I'm wonderful, aren't I, baby? Wonderful, see? Okay, so it's affirmed. She said I was wonderful. But I know that in giving, I've watched her give, even to her own detriment. Anybody ever been like that? You ever just given down to your fingernails? But you never hear, thank you, you never hear, really appreciate that, never hear. Oh, it got too quiet in here now. Come on, stop. Because even while we were yet still sinners, God demonstrated his love towards us, gave us a son who was ordained, destined to die for you and for me. And do you know what? We weren't the greatest day at the beach, right? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you were jacked up. Oh, okay. Maybe the terminology might not be fitting. But it is as soft as we want to be in here this morning. Yeah, believe it or not, whether you told your neighbor that or not, I'll say it, you all were jacked up. Well, you all are having a little fun with this, aren't you? I mean, because that's the condition we all in. As wonderful as we look this morning, we're jacked up. Somebody say amen now, don't get quiet on me. Yeah, and so even in the midst and the season of all of that, God loved us, gave us Jesus. Put him in a trough. He didn't put him in the Marriott. Put him in a trough. Yeah, because they didn't have a place for him. Oh, Lord God, let it not be us. Let us not be the ones that don't have a place for Jesus. Are you hearing me? So anyway, he says the government will be on his shoulders. Now, that word government is not as we think of it today. Someone say amen. Anybody would recognize that we are just a little off-centered in government today? A couple people do recognize that? And so the government that Isaiah is speaking about here, the prophet is speaking about, is that there is a way that God conducts life within his body. How he calls us to function, listen, with one another. That's what government is all about. It's our relationship to God and then our relationship with one another. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, just like this, I love you. Now, that phrase in this current condition we live in is real positional, okay? We still have to live it out, okay? We just can't say the label, I love you, and then not manifest that love, amen? And guess what God says? Make it unconditional love. Let's do that kind of love. And what I discovered about that kind of love, it's not like the phileo or the Philadelphia type of love, brotherly love, or Sturgard, which is the family love. This unconditional love is one that actually has to be taught. We have to learn that kind of love. Agape love is not normal for humans. It's not. And so God sent us a teacher, and he says the government will be on his shoulders. The government, the burden of it will be on Jesus' shoulder. Remember now, this is the one who was born. This is the one we're celebrating about. Yeah, and don't anybody, I will hunt you down if anybody goes home and says, Pastor Milton says we shouldn't have presents and Christmas trees and all of that. That is not what I'm saying. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm only reminding you of what this is all about. And this is all about, truly, about Jesus. He says, his name will be called. And then he gives us about four names, not exhaustive, because God is any, every, and all things. Amen? But he gave us a description of what this exchange between us and God would be like. First of all, he says, he's wonderful counselor. Ooh, I love the phrase wonderful counselor. If you dig into that word in the Hebrew a little bit, you will find in a very simple way, he is the sum of everything he says. The sum from soup to nuts, beginning to end, and there is no beginning to end to Alpha and Omega. But wonderful counselor. Many of us will seek many different avenues to get counsel about things that we're dealing with in life. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about. But the scripture tells us in Isaiah, the prophet says, he is wonderful counselor, meaning that the counsel that he gives you is pure and it's true and it will not fail. And there is nothing that any of us this morning may be going through that counsel, which is the complete fullness of God, won't resolve. Ooh, how wonderful is that? Think about it. I don't even need you to tell me. Just think about some of the stuff you're dealing with or that you've had to deal with. And there's no resolve to it. It's almost like it's a season. It's like a funk hanging over. Can I say funk in here? I guess I can say it. Okay. Like it's a cloud hanging over you. Yeah. Well, the wonderful counselor who gave it up on the cross says, I'll take that funk and I'll give you life. How do you turn your back on that? Wonderful counsel, the full purpose of God. And it's in the express face of the one who came in a trough. Secondly, he says he's mighty God. Now, this one gets a little deeper. But if you just read that as mighty God, everybody would go home and say, well, God's powerful. Well, we know that. But let me tell you what that word means, that phrase means. Let me encourage you with this. Let me encourage you this. Mighty God means he is the ultimate supernatural influencer. That means Satan can't trump you with the things that he's attempting to influence you to be and to do. You know why? Because God is the ultimate influencer. Yeah, that's an amen, hallelujah kind of stuff. You all should have rung out in a praise of something, the first Noel or joy to the world or something. Yes, yes, listen, I don't care the decisions you've made already. You were influenced by something to make that decision, and that decision, your wife begged you not to make that decision, but you made it anyway. I'm just using an example. I don't know anybody's situation. But if you did do that, I'm saying, the full purpose of God, mighty God, is the influencer that it trumps up all of the jacked up decisions that we've made. Do you know how liberating it is to walk in that truth? Because it's real. Nobody in here has done anything that can't be corrected by God. Amen. Yeah, because the stuff we've done and it seems all messed up, he's allowed us to go through it. Okay. Mighty God. Don't lose that phrase. Mighty God. He's the supernatural. When we talk about the power of God, the power is not in a physical power, if you will. The power of God was resident in the Garden of Eden. I thought about this the other day. How in the world could you have all of that bliss around Adam and Eve and then sit a tree in the middle of it and say, don't mess with that? Who does that? Well, see, you've got to know Mighty God in order to understand how he can leave that tree in the middle of the garden, give us instruction, and say, do not touch it. That was truth spoken by God. Do not eat of that tree. Somebody say amen if y'all know what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. But he left it right there in the middle of the garden. And sometimes we often get that confused by, you know how messed up we are? But yet Jesus sits right in the middle of our hearts. He's right there. And we never touch him. We never eat of him. We never feast off of the tree of life that sits right in the middle of our heart. In the middle of all of our stuff. You know why? Because God knows nothing can out-influence him. Some of you all, if you had to make a decision for Christ today, it could be done. Because he is the primary influencer. But this is what he won't do. He won't steamroll you. Because he's not looking for robots. He's looking for those who are willing to give their lives to him. Yeah, that's what all of that talk about the cross, and I love the cross. Yeah. But you know what? Did you realize it had to be a trough before we got a cross? What's he talking about? For those of you who do not know what a trough is, I'm showing some of my country rearing. A trough was one of those feeding mechanisms, if you will, whereby the animals ate from it. I think more specifically about pigs that I raised that we had a feeder for them, and they would go and eat out of the trough. And that was the overnighter for Jesus, if you will. He was laid in the trough. And so what I just said, so that you can understand what I just said, there had to be a trough before there was a cross. Yeah, you all are listening. Yeah. But listen, don't get disturbed by that. It was all part of the plan. And all of this ugliness, it was all part of the plan. I get excited about Christmas for a different reason, probably, than most. And that's not to say doesn't make me anything. All I'm saying is I get revved up about why he came, why he stayed, why he ascended. And I know he's coming back. That's what fires me up for Christmas. Now, I like to receive gifts like the next person. Some of you all are not going to appreciate this, but love me anyway. As the Lord moved upon my heart. This is my heart in the Harding household. This was all about Pastor Milton. Okay, this is me. This is not prescriptive or descriptive for anybody else in here. This is me. But as the Lord moved upon my heart in 1989, I guess it was, 90, about 2 years after our first child was born, because we tried to do it for the first 2 years, we tried to, you know, there I was doing the little tree and doing the decorating, and I remember that drill from growing up, and certainly my wife went through it as well. I think, in my head, I think they probably did a better job of it, because we did all of this decorating and getting trees and presents and all of that, and the family was jacked up. But we were getting ready to celebrate. Well, a celebration in my mind was, what's under that tree for me? But as I began to grow in the things of God, the Lord just impressed upon me to celebrate this thing for what it is. And not only that, I had four little hungry mouths who would follow that one that was born, who had to be fed on truth. The whole truth. Sorry, five. And nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. And so, after year two of going through that Christmas drill of the trees and all of this, people, I'm going to need you to love me after I share this with you, because I ain't trying to wreck nobody's parade here. I'm just telling you my life, okay? Y'all walk with me through that? Okay, good deal. And so we stopped doing all of that. I want you to know of how I saw the stress of Christmas leave the presence of my wife. Not having to figure out these lists that you have to write everybody's name down, and you can't forget them, because if you forget them, then somebody's not going to get a gift. And my God, what happens if they don't get a gift? They don't love me. And as my youngest daughter might say, oh, now Christmas is ruined. Anyway, I want to say, as tough as that decision was, and it wasn't tough because I was being obedient to the voice of the Lord God Almighty, it has reaped bountiful blessings in our home. Now, you probably would have to query my children, who, in my assessment, they don't seem to be have been jacked up about all of that. I mean, they seem to still be doing Christmas very well. In light of what it's about. But I was responsible for teaching them and letting them know this is what the celebration is all about. Do you understand what I'm saying? So will someone say, I don't care how many people say it, but would someone, we love you, Pastor Milton. Man, it took y'all too long to say that. Good Lord. Eternal Father means it's an everlasting love. Well, how can the Son be an eternal Father? Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, takes on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They all one, the same. And in his role as the child given, a child born and the Son given, then Jesus has the attributes of the Father being pressed out in our midst. He's the eternal Father. And let me say this. There is not one soul sitting in this room today that didn't get here without a Oh, yeah, help me with this. This is an easy message. Yeah, now, none of us got here without a father. Yes, and as a result of that, it began there. And I know that you all might have had some messed up relationships, perhaps, with, I'm in that line. I had messed up relationship with my father. But it wasn't until I understood that I had an eternal father who knew how to love me. Yeah. That's where I got my loving rudiments from. It was from my Heavenly Father. Yeah. And so, Jesus, it's an everlasting love. See, our fathers love us. And as fathers, we're to love our children regardless of what they do. We won't be happy with them. But thank you. But we don't stop. Because the Father never stops loving us. Everlasting love. And then, Prince of Peace. Isaiah, speaking to Israel, is talking about the millennial peace when Israel will be at right relationship with God. But it also has the spiritual implications here that each one of us, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, can know the peace of God in order to have peace. I'm sorry, peace with God, in order to have the peace of God. The peace with God, meaning that we're not fighting him anymore. We're not rejecting him anymore. We're not rebelling against him anymore. We accept him as our Lord and Savior. Then we can have the peace of God. But Pastor Milton, you don't know how messed up it is in my home right now. But he says that there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. I don't know why this is going on right now, but there is a peace that surpasses all understanding that will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Prince of Peace. Okay, and finally, I'll stop here. Matthew chapter 2. Oh my goodness. We talk about what this food in the trough was going to be for us, if you will, who turned out to be Jesus, truth in a trough. He's the one that we're singing happy birthday to. And when I look at this passage, it's a passage you've all have read or seen before, and you know the story behind it, the backdrop of the three kings going to find the baby Jesus. And a little background study would be just the fact that they were really astrologers who were considered to be wise men. But that's not where my focus is right now. Even though the king says, hey, when you find this baby Jesus, let me know where he is, because I want to worship him too. And so we know how that story went. But what I want to glean from this experience in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, and let me read these words to you. After coming to the house, they saw the child and Mary, with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And we know that story. We know how it's fitting for this season. But I want to offer you this. Now, I'm not speaking to the spiritual condition of these three men, but I want to look at the behavior of these three men. They were motivated to go find out about the star that they knew that would tie them to a Messiah. And so they were reading that which was created to get to that which created it. I'm going to give you all a little while to get that. Did you all hear what I said over here? Because I didn't hear any yells or screaming or anything, but you all got it? Okay, good. I don't want you to fall asleep on me over here. Yeah, so they were following what was created to find the one who created it. You see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then John tells us that the Word became and put in a trough and dwelt among us. Is anybody still here? Okay, I'm just trying to track this thing here. So nonetheless, we have these three men who wanted to go. They let Herod know, hey, I want to go worship this king. Yeah, that's a good thing. And so what do we find them doing when they find the baby Jesus? Look at Matthew 2:11. First of all, they saw the child. They saw the child. If you can't see Jesus, you're going to be hard-pressed to not only live him, but also to give him. Let me let that sit a little while, because it got quiet real quick. You all have been the greatest responders, so I'm going to... I love you people, don't get me wrong. If you can't see Jesus, it's going to be awful hard to live him or to give him. But what about the verse, Pastor, when he says, no man has seen God? My Lord. Yeah, I thought you all thought I was preaching this morning. Yes. Thank you, Stuart. If you have seen me, Jesus made it plain to them. And so as we see Jesus, as these men physically saw the baby Jesus, look what their next behavior was. Come on, somebody sing it to me now. What did they do? They fell down and worshiped him. And we're still trying to figure out what size shoe does Aunt Mary wear. Will she like blue ones or red ones? Is it a 5.5 and a 6? Somebody tell me. Before Kohl's closes the doors. Not leaving this building until I have that present. No. They find the baby Jesus and they fell down and worshiped him. Brothers and sisters, do you not long for that spirit of worship? Because we've seen Jesus. And the only thing that can happen is we buckle our knees and we worship him. That's what the Sunday morning thing that we do to gather ourselves together to be obedient to the Word of God is to come together and worship him. It's not to come together and just sing songs. It's not to come together and just give our monies and tithes and offerings. It's not coming together on Sunday morning just to see who didn't show up. It's not coming together on Sunday morning to see, you know what? I know she didn't wear that last Sunday. Lord Jesus, I touched a nerve that time. But what I'm saying, Sunday morning is our time for coming together to worship the Lord Jesus. We want to give honor to God the Father. So they fell in worship. And then, now here's where it gets a little edgy. A little edgy for believers this day and time. A little edgy. I'm letting you know this before we launch. What's the next behavior we see happening? They did what? What do you mean? Wait, they fell in worship first? And then they opened up their stuff and they gave gifts? What a novice idea. What could they have been thinking? Are you sure the text didn't say they gave each other gifts? Didn't it have a gift exchange, a white elephant? Is it white elephant? What is that thing? Well, anyway. I'm looking at this behavior of people who we don't even know if they were saved or not, but they understood the ritual for a king. They didn't know that. You didn't just roll up on the king without something in hand. Now, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in a trough. They saw him. They fell down and worshiped him. And at some point in time, they got up, which some of you will need to do. I mean, it's not, if I'm on a medal, I'm going all the way. I'm not going to just be half-stepping. Somebody, sister, me and you, we are going to have church, okay? Me and you. I don't care if they want to have church or not. Okay, so they get up and they give gifts. We don those doors on Sunday morning. We should be donning them with the spirit of giving. Giving. Not what's in it for me. Giving. 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 To the King. That's our charge. That is belonging to Him made so simple for us this morning. To see him, to worship him, and to give to him. You can't outgive God. You cannot. Oh, no, yeah, he's asking for money. I don't care about the money. God created the money. He owns it all. But once he frees you up, you'll give him everything you got. You will. You give him your time. You know, we have a robust children's ministry on the other side of these walls. Most of you know that because you put them there. No, and so there ought to be a waiting list. When can I serve those little ones? We ought to have 92 boxes over there for offerings. Don't get quiet on me now. Stop. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Not inexpensive, gentlemen and ladies. We are giving to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Love, because we love him. And just as a case, you're putting down a little list of things that baby Jesus might want, let me offer these for you. In John 14:21, he who has my words and obeys them, he is the one that loves me. You think he might enjoy the gift of obedience? Obedience. Let's wrap that up and put it under the tree. Psalm 51:6, David writes, the desire of God's heart is that we would have truth spoken to the inner man. Truth spoken to our inward spirit, governed by truth, led by truth. You think he might want the gift? of truth or true living, if you will. Oh, Hosea 6:6. He says, I don't desire burnt offerings. Don't bring me your sacrifices. Ah, that you might serve me. You think you might want the gift of loyalty? Loyalty? How valuable would loyalty be in just some of your relationships? There are some husbands and wives who haven't been loyal. There are some parents who haven't been loyal. There are some siblings who haven't been loyal. But guess what? We're giving loyalty, the gift of loyalty, to Jesus. Because he balances the scales when it gets jacked up this level. He balances them this way. You think as he spoke over in Matthew 9 that he might want the gift of compassion? Put that under the tree. In the form of you being compassionate toward others. And I'll end on this one. Micah 6:8. Oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Stand to your feet if you will. I'm going to pray and then we're going to head off to celebrate or continue to celebrate this birthday season with Jesus. That would be my hope. As the musicians are assembling, we hand over the end of this service to the Holy Spirit to end it the way he'd like to. I want to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we do thank you and give you praise. We thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, there is a sweet move of your spirit in this place. And Lord, I pray that you would minister. Stop at each heart that the door is open, Lord. Please stop and minister to them in this moment, right now. Let your presence as the Almighty God, as the wonderful counselor, impact our spirits in this time. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Milton, I've never known the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never known about this gift in the way that you've spoken about it. I've heard the gospel that Jesus, the only begotten Son of the living God, that he died for me on a cross, was buried, and God raised him again. I've heard the story, but today I believe that story. If you reach out to the Lord and ask him to come into your heart because of that belief, believing on what he has done for you, God promises you that you become his child in this moment. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Milton, I kind of got caught up in this whole Christmas thing, and while there's nothing evil about it, I know that I have not apportioned my heart to recognize whose birthday it truly is. And I want to repent right now. I want to confess that to you, Lord Jesus. Father God, forgive me where I have not acknowledged you with the cake and ice cream and the streamers and the balloons and all of those things that are assigned to who you are. Father, help me to walk humbly with you each and every day. If that's you and you prayed that prayer, God will do just that. Now, Father God, seal it in our hearts, the decisions that we've made in this moment, in your presence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.